Thanks for joining us. Today I'm speaking with Andrew Lockhart, who is the Managing Partner of Metric Credit Partners. He's also a Portfolio Manager for the Master Income Trust. Andrew, good to talk to you.
Thanks, Tom.
Now, just refresh people's thinking in relation to exactly what Metrics Credit Partners does. You basically are a lender, but you're doing it on behalf of the average investor who's getting access to markets which they normally or historically wouldn't have had access to.
That's right. I think there are probably two things that we do, Tom, as a business. First of all, we create investment product for investors to gain an attractive market position. So we're our funds are designed to give investors access to private market transactions that we originate.
Yep.
And then the other part of what we do is obviously provide what we think is an important source of non-bank debt finance to companies to support those companies in their activities as corporates.
Now, this is a function that historically has not been available to the average investor. Why is that?
Because it's a private market, the loans that we hold and originate are not traded instruments. So investors generally buy and sell bonds or equities on public market exchanges. It's very difficult to get access to an asset class like a private loan that's in a tradable format. And so, you know, our team, you know, we have offices now in Sydney, Melbourne, and in Auckland in New Zealand, and it's all designed to build out long-term relationships with companies, seek to understand the way in which those companies operate, and then find good transaction opportunities to lend to those companies. So direct origination of the opportunities to lend, the ability to structure, negotiate, and arrange the funding, so setting the terms, the conditions, and the pricing, and then providing that funding, and then management of the risk on an ongoing basis. So most investors wouldn't have the ability to do that, and so they're heavily relying on managers like us that undertake that kind of work to give them the exposure, you know, the risks and the returns that are associated with directly lending to companies.
What are some of the risks associated with this sort of lending?
Probably there are a number, but the most important risk, or the key risk, I think, is the risk of credit loss. So that's a situation where if the company you've lent to was to underperform and there was to be a default, then the potential risk to you as a lender in terms of the loss that you might sustain as a result of a company failing to meet its interest or principal repayment obligations. And so the risk of credit loss is probably the single greatest risk that I think an investor's exposed to. There are a number of other risks, yeah, and they're obviously outlined in our offer documents and the like, but the key risk I think an investor's exposed to would be the risk of credit loss.
So as a way of navigating that, you obviously put a lot of work into precisely who you're going to farm your money out to. What are some of the processes that you go through when you're looking at who you're going to lend to?
Look, our team adopt a pretty stringent approach to risk management, and so it's about understanding the company you've lent to. So you're really seeking to understand what are the key cash flow drivers associated with the company you're lending to. And so we often do, you know, the diligence work that's associated with financial and tax due diligence. We obviously undertake legal due diligence in relation to the companies we lend to. But you're looking at all aspects of the company. What's the transaction? What's the purpose for which the funding is being provided? You know, how is the company performing in the context of its broader industry and its competitive position in the industry that it operates? How's management perform?
Yep.
How do they adopt and behave in relation to ESG principles?
Yep.
They're all fundamental things that are considered important to assess and analyse. But obviously, the financial aspects of the company is also very important. So looking at the historical performance in terms of the historical financial performance of the company you lend to, but also understanding what are the key risks associated with the performance of the company on an ongoing basis. And so you project out the financial performance and you understand and you seek to stress test those future cash flows or the drivers of cash flow that the business is exposed to, and then properly structure the terms and conditions. So for us, once you've understood the industry, the company, the management, and the financial aspects of the business, then it's important to say, okay, what are the appropriate terms and conditions and the controls that we need to put in place to mitigate the risk of loss? So those controls would be in the form of covenants, so restricting the level of leverage that a company might have, or requiring the company to achieve a certain level of cash flow and interest serviceability, or taking appropriate security. security over the company, security over the property that you might the company might own, personal guarantees, or how you mitigate the risk of loss. So that's all designed to reduce that risk of credit loss that an investor might be exposed to. I think one of the other important things is, as part of lending, it's important to restrict or limit your exposure you have to any one individual borrower.
Yep.
And so well-diversified portfolios are important, so you're limiting the individual counterparty exposure or the risk that you have to any one individual company to further mitigate the risk of loss to your investors.
Are there any particular lines in the sand that you won't cross in terms of the type of businesses that you won't lend to?
Yeah, look, we have a very stringent approach to credit risk management, and so the credit rating process obviously is important. The ESG rating process that we apply to the companies that we lend to is equally important. But for us, there are a range of industries where the cyclicality of the cash flows, so there are a range of industries where there's greater levels of cyclicality in their earnings, they present greater levels of risk to you as a lender. Equally, there are industries that are going through structural changes. They present greater risks to you as a lender. And so from our perspective as a lender, what you're seeking to do is to understand the company and to understand how that company might perform over the longer term to ensure that your position as a lender is protected. Our position is equity investors are investing in companies to participate in the growth in earnings. Our investors are participating in the lending activities that we provide to the companies to generate an income, but to ensure that the capital value of their investment is stable and protected. And so we need to take proactive steps to manage the risk of credit loss and to ensure that our investors have good protected capital positions.
So the interesting thing that you mentioned there is the income, and one of the things that you've focused on is the regularity of that income. That's something that you've paid particular attention to, isn't it?
Yeah, look, the underlying loan assets, the sources of income that are available to you as a lender come from fee income and interest income that is earned on lending money. And so borrowers have an obligation to pay fees and interest on an ongoing basis, and so that provides a regularity of income. They're all contractual cash flows, so there's no variability or dispute as to what is owed to us.
If you're
an equity investor, the performance of the company might be variable. But for us, the companies that we lend to have a contracted obligation to pay a certain interest rate and a certain fee on particular prescribed dates. And so as a result of that, each of the funds that we operate pay out income on a monthly basis to investors so that investors get the benefit of that regular payment of interest and fee income from borrowers that we've lent to.
Now, you're about to raise some money through a capital raising. How are you going to use those funds?
Yeah, look, we've launched what we've called the MXT entitlement offer. So existing unit holders within the MCP Master Income Trust are able to participate in that offer, together with potentially new investors subscribing for new units that are available. The offer is open from the 13th of February, and it's open and available for people up until the 6th of March. So the use of those proceeds will be used to further expand and diversify the loan portfolio that we hold. We really set ourselves four key criteria before we decide if it's appropriate to come back to market to raise capital. One, do we believe that we can raise capital and deploy it without creating a cash drag on investor returns? Second criteria is, can we raise the capital and deploy it without unduly changing the risk profile that investors are exposed to? The third thing is, does it actually lower the cost that investors have in terms of the total cost of the fund? So pleasingly, as a result of this capital raising, the cost structure will be lowered again. And then finally, we look to make sure that from an investment that's liquid and traded on the stock exchange, that we've got enhanced levels of market liquidity. And so that's coming through in the form of increased size and scale of MXT on the exchange, which is making it quite a liquid investment for people to buy and sell on the stock exchange. So having satisfied those four key criteria, we think it's important for us to be able to raise capital because the opportunity for us to lend in our market is quite material. And so we have a very strong pipeline of deal flows, deal opportunities to lend to companies that we have relationships with.
Andrew, it's always good talking to you. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.